5:32 on Downtown. Rich Kimble, Bruce Pratt, Brian Stackpole here. And if you've been following sports lately, you would know all that's gone on at the University of Missouri, the efforts of the football team there to call attention to racial situations on campus that ultimately led to the resignation of the president of the university. But 45 years ago, a group of football players in Syracuse stood up for their rights and the rights of other African Americans. They were known as the Syracuse Eight, and we are joined on the GNM Family Market telephone right now by one of those Syracuse Eight, Greg Allen. Greg, thank you so much for making time for us this afternoon.
Well, glad to be a part of the show. Thank you for calling me.
And let's start, first of all, with the misconception that the Syracuse Eight were actually nine. Is that right?
Yes. What happened was one of the members got dismissed about 6 months prior to the actual boycott. There were eight of us who are still on the team who walked off the field. And so we were dubbed the Syracuse Eight, and later the other member joined us. So we were called the Syracuse Eight because eight walked off the field, but there are nine because of the other member who joined later.
Now, we talked a few moments ago about the things you were asking for in your boycott with Coach Ben Schwartzwalder that seems so reasonable to us today. The same academic tutoring as the white players on the team, better medical care for all team members, starting assignments based on merit, and then some integration in that coaching staff. It seems so logical today. And why wasn't it logical for the folks at Syracuse 45 years ago?
45 years ago, African-American athletes were really just being recruited by Division I schools. When I came to Syracuse, out of 100 ball players, there were only 10 African-Americans on the team. So it was quite a different time then. And usually during that era, the coach was the ultimate authority. And no one challenged the coach, and no one challenged his authority or anything that he wanted to do with the football team. It was pretty much almost regimented like the military.
Hi, Greg. This is Bruce. One of the questions that I had, I was thinking about. I lived in Syracuse in the middle 1970s for a while, and I had read a lot about Dolph Shays recently. And you didn't think of Syracuse as a town with more of a racial problem than others. Jim Brown had been there. You got Ernie Davis, later Floyd Little. What was it about Schwartzwalder's attitude that was so different towards rank-and-file players, if you will?
I think what was really different was the fact that, again, ours was at the end and still, somewhat at the beginning of the Civil Rights era. And we were looking for, there was a new athlete on campus, one who was more aware of his culture and background. And when we were there, as we said, there was only 10 African Americans on the team. And when things would happen, we didn't really have someone that we thought or felt understood our perspective on different issues, as some of the issues that we just talked that you just mentioned on the show. So when we opted or asked for a black assistant coach, one that we could relate to, it was almost taken as if we were trying to, take over the team or change things. And again, at that particular time, athletes really didn't have any say in what was going on with the football team or what was going on with their lives. You pretty much signed on for a scholarship. And as I said earlier, it was more of a militaristic, society where, you would just take your orders and do what you were told and wouldn't speak out against it.
Now, when you guys left, there was some kind of an attempt to lure at least some of you back. And when not everyone was invited back, you, I think, quite to your credit and a display of your courage, said, no, if we don't all come back, I'm not coming back. What was it like at that moment to realize that you were going to break a bond that you weren't going to be able to heal?
It was tough. I mean, for most of us, like most athletes today, everybody aspires to get to college, a Division I program, and then become a starter. And, of course, right away you start thinking about the next tier, getting to the NFL, and all the rewards that that brings you. So when I was asked to come back, it was a tough decision. I knew that we were standing up for principles, didn't want to be put in a position where I was demeaning everything that we stood for at that particular time. And I really felt that since we all had boycotted, if we all were going to receive the same punishment, then we all should also receive the same reward. And that reward would have been coming back and being able to play.
We're talking with Greg Allen, one of the Syracuse eight who boycotted Syracuse football in 1970. Now, Coach Schwartzwalder had a reputation for giving black players an opportunity. He had some black stars along the way, but as you said, there were very few African-American players on the team. Were you surprised by the level of, if not overt, then at least subtle racism that existed there in the football team?
Yes, I was. I mean, one of the reasons that I matriculated at Syracuse was because of, again, the athletes that you just mentioned had gone on before, and they'd all had pretty illustrious NFL careers. There was no mention of any, you know, racial issues at that particular time or none that had come to surface. So it was the subtle things, as, you know, mentioned in the book, that you know, we became aware of, and we decided that, you know, something needed to be done about it, that it wasn't fair. It isn't the way that any individual should be treated when you're also putting your physical safety on the line to play a sport, and reward, of course, is your degree. But at the same time, you know, there's this idea, a level of being treated fairly and equitably, and that's what kind of drove us anyway.
Now, I noticed that you were told by the coaches you should drop your plans to study biology. It happened to a friend of mine who played at Richmond too. But and this whole attitude that you, it seems that you were there for the benefit of Syracuse, but you weren't supposed to so much benefit from it. I mean, you do graduate, and you're not estranged from the school anymore. If you could sort of talk about the process of how you came to be involved with Syracuse again after all those things happened.
There was some bitterness initially when I left Syracuse, but when I looked at the results of the boycott and how Syracuse really took an introspective look at itself and decided to make some changes, I felt that I had been a part of that change, that I had initiated that change, and that my sacrifice meant something. And so I had the attitude that since I had contributed, maybe not in the way that I wanted to, but it contributed to the change in the university and the growth of the university, that I still wanted to be a part of the university. I'd made a sacrifice, and I wanted that sacrifice, to be recognized, and I didn't want, again, to alienate myself from something that I had, made a contribution to. So I reconciled myself with the university, and the university, after many years, reconciled itself with me, and so I am a orange man. I bleed orange again.
All right, you are a business owner in Syracuse too?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I have a pizza business called M Street Pizza. I have it with another partner of mine who is also a former SU football player, and we do have a business here, and also, contributing to the community that way.
So you're back in Westcott.
I could add, I think it's also important for people to know that even through the book, we feel so strongly about our commitment and our dedication to the school that most of the proceeds from the book are going to the Syracuse Aid Scholarship Fund and also to the School of Education to provide scholarships for minorities to become teachers.
So, Greg, did you feel any sense of pride with the recent boycott at the University of Missouri and seeing that this legacy that you established 45 years ago is carried on by athletes today?
Yes, I did. And I think what was so unique about it was the fact that both the coaching staff and the white ball players stood with the black ball players, on principle. And, so there was a similarity, but also a contrast. But I think the contrast says a lot to the growth of our country, the growth of race relations here in America, and that people, we still look at things, of course, with our own racial biases. But at the same time, I think these young football players and the coach made an assessment based more on principle than anything else.
Greg Allen, one of the Syracuse Eight. Greg, thank you so much for your efforts then and now, and thank you so much for making some time for us this afternoon.
Oh, thank you for the call, and glad to do it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Greg Allen joining us on Downtown's 542. And,